Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
How do you deal with disappointment in your life? What happens within you when the things that you had hoped for do not come to pass? When your dreams are not fulfilled? And how in particular does that impact your faith? The way in which you see God. How do you understand it when what you think is right for you and should happen in your life and in the lives of people you care about actually will not be the case? How do you deal with disappointment? We're going to read a story about two disciples of Jesus today who were extremely disappointed. Because the Jesus in whom they had placed their faith, Jesus whom they hoped would be the Messiah, the one who would fulfill all of their dreams and all of their hopes, actually just a couple of days earlier had suffered terribly and had died on a cross. We're looking at a story out of Luke chapter 24, this Scripture passage you'll find in your bulletin, or you can also follow along up here on the screens, beginning in verse 13. Now, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. We had hoped that he was the Messiah, the one who would rescue Israel. We had hoped that this Jesus, who we had come to know and spend time with, is the one who would release us from bondage to the Romans. And there were many things in our relationship with him and in our time with him that seemed to indicate that maybe he could be the Messiah. He was fulfilling many of the prophecies from God's word containing the Messiah. He was a great prophet, as Scripture said the Messiah would be. He did amazing miracles. He was a fantastic teacher. Not just us disciples who thought he was an amazing teacher. People in general thought that he taught with authority and with wisdom. All these were kind of boxes that we were checking off as we were going along that spoke about the Messiah. But then we got to the box that says, rescue Israel, and we kept waiting for it to happen. We thought maybe after he had done some of his more amazing miracles, he would begin the process of rescuing Israel. We certainly thought about a week ago when he came into Jerusalem and the people were excited and they were calling out to him and they were using prophecies from the Old Testament to sing his praises. We thought certainly then Jesus would enter Jerusalem and begin the process of rescuing us from Israel. But for about 5 days he was in Jerusalem and he taught and he talked to many people, but he never did anything about the Romans. And then he was arrested and he was put on trial by our religious leaders. And he was mocked and he was spit upon and he was beaten and he was handed over to Roman soldiers who put a crown of thorns on his head and hit him with rods and they crucified him. And he died. I guess we were wrong. I guess that our hopes and our dreams and our expectations of this Jesus of Nazareth, that he was truly the Messiah, just simply were not true. And so here we are. We've been following Jesus, but what do we do now? Might as well go back home. We live in Emmaus. That's where we're headed. Might as well go back to doing what we were doing before. Go back to looking around for I wonder who the Messiah could be. I wonder when God is going to finally fulfill our hopes and our dreams of rescue. We have very little now. In any sense of hope, we are so disappointed. What do you and I hope for? Where are places in our lives that we can say with the disciples, well, I had hoped, but now I realize that that's not going to happen? For me, I've had many things that I've hoped for in my life that have not come to pass. I'd hoped that I would have many more years with my mom, but she died very unexpectedly at a relatively early age. I had hoped that my new boss would see the kind of ministry that I had been doing and would be complimentary and be glad to have me on his staff, but instead, he wanted someone else in that position. I had hoped that our oldest son, when he first got married, that he and his wife would live a long and happy life together and give us our first grandchild, and it would just be wonderful. But she divorced him, left him for another guy. I had hoped And I don't think there's really anything wrong with any of those hopes. I may have had a few hopes in my life that were a little bit questionable, I'll admit that. A few prayer requests that were maybe a little bit out in left field, but there have been many things that I have hoped for that I think are very good. Nothing wrong with hoping for more years with my wife. Nothing wrong with hoping that the new boss would be someone that I could connect with and enjoy being in ministry with. Nothing wrong with hoping that my son's marriage would be good and would be long and would be joyful. But as those and other things have happened in my life and I find myself saying I had hoped, I recognize the disappointment. I recognize that sometimes that the emotional response that I have to experiences in my life begin to call into question the view that I have of God, the way in which I think of God, what it is that I want God to do. And I realize that I'd hoped for something that for whatever reason God has not been a part of and God is not going to make happen. Sometimes the hurt or the anger, the sadness, whatever our responses may be to the things that we had hoped for that did not come to be, can cloud our relationship with God. It's as if, so to speak, that the physical tears that are sometimes in our eyes hinder our spiritual sight. That our disappointment and the way in which we're focusing on trying to understand things that often can't be understood and getting answers to things that often are not answerable cause our eyes of faith to drift off of God, cause us to turn away from Jesus and no longer recognize Him in a sense. Because we had thought that He would do certain things. We had thought that He would be in a certain way, but He is not. The wonder of the story, and there are many amazing things that happen in the story. There are miraculous things that happen in the story, many which we could talk about. But I think one of the most important things in the story, at least for us today, is the reality that Jesus is with these two disciples. They have misunderstood Jesus because, as He points out, they haven't been paying attention to what the Scriptures say about Jesus. They're upset that Jesus suffered and died, but Jesus said, haven't you read in Scripture that I, the Messiah, need to suffer and die? Well, it's a rhetorical question. No, they haven't. I mean, either they didn't read it, or they read it and skipped over it, or they didn't like it and ignored that part of Scripture, whatever it is, because it's there. And Luke tells us that Jesus took them through a Bible study. That must have been an amazing Bible study, that He opened the Scriptures to them and showed them all that it had to say about His suffering and death. It's not that it wasn't there, but the disciples just, well, those aren't the parts that we're really into. We like the prophet thing, and we like the miracles, and we like the good teacher, and we like the rescue Israel, and the suffering and the dying that just doesn't fit our picture. And when Jesus suffers, and when Jesus dies, the disciples are lost. And Jesus says to them, what you need to do is that you need to stop being slow of heart. You need to stop being unbelieving when it comes to all of Scripture. And it's interesting, in those few verses, you can go back and look at them very specifically there in this part of Luke. Jesus uses the word all, or Luke uses the word all about what Jesus is doing like four or five times. How slow of heart you are to believe all of the Scriptures. You just believe the parts you like. And then Jesus opened all of the scripture and he showed them from all of the prophets everything that the scriptures had to say about him. And once they began to hear, and once God, through his Son Jesus, began to reveal to them from the Word of God what was true about the suffering and death of the Messiah, as prophesied and now as lived by Jesus himself, they will later say, indeed it's in verse 32, the very next verse after I stopped in verse 31 in our scripture reading. The disciples are talking to each other after Jesus has disappeared. And they said, our hearts were strangely warmed when? When he opened the scriptures. Not when he showed up on the road, even though we didn't know who he was. Not even when it was revealed to us who he was in the breaking of bread in our homes. But our hearts were strangely warmed as he opened scripture to us. Our hopes began to rise again. Our dreams began to be reshaped and reformed a little bit and started becoming more like reality. We were able to see beyond the narrow focus we had had. We had narrowed the eyes of faith to just kind of what was in front of us. That is a suffering and dead Messiah that didn't fit our picture. So our hopes for the Messiah must have been wrong. But instead, Jesus opened up our eyes of faith. He expanded our understanding as he went through Scripture with us. And as it was for them, so it is for us today. Again, there's nothing wrong with having hopes and dreams and expectations. But when it becomes obvious to us that God is not bringing those about, or at least not in the present bringing them about, what we need to do is we need to find a way to look beyond the immediate event, the immediate circumstances, because if all we bring is our human eyes and our human understanding to the situation, we are going to be left disappointed. We are going to be left with diminished hopes. We're going to be left with a sense that, you know, I can't dream dreams and I can't have expectations of things because I will just get disappointed again. We will start living an impoverished life. But Jesus is the one who said, I have come to give life and to give it in abundance. Now, how do I understand that abundant life, especially in light of hopes and dreams not being fulfilled as I desire them? Read the Word of God, Jesus is saying. And read all of it. By that, we don't mean verse by verse, beginning to end, although eventually that's a good thing, but that's not something you can do in an afternoon. But it is rather having a desire and an intentionality that when God brings His Word to you, whether it's in your own personal quiet time or whether it's in a Bible study or in a Sunday morning or through something you're reading or listening to, that you pay attention to all the Word. And that you are careful not to say, well, that part I'm just not really into. If the Word of God becomes for you, as it kind of was for these two disciples, I'll pick and choose the things that I'm most comfortable with, that I like the most, that I feel best about, then it's no longer going to be the Word of God. It's going to be the Word of Steve. Because I want to exert my authority over the Word for the Word to say what I want it to say. And that's when we start getting into trouble. Allow the authority of the Word to truly be authority. We humble ourselves under the Word and we allow it to instruct us. We allow it to correct us, which is not comfortable. We allow it to discipline us at times. And we allow it, when it comes to our hopes that are not being fulfilled, to help us once again look to the God who loves us and who cares for us, who's gracious to us, who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Again, that's the beautiful thing about the story is Jesus has not left or forsaken these disciples. Wrong as they are in their understanding of Him. But He comes to them and He says, let's work on this together. Let me show you some things that you have not seen before. Let me help you to understand according to the Word of God who I am and why these things, especially the things that are so troubling to you, have had to happen. God is the one who has the big picture. He understands all that is going on. You and I, we only have a little narrow slice according to where we are in the story. Trust God. Paul says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. If we're going to be instructed by that particular scripture, then all things are all things. That includes the bad things, the hard things. It includes suffering and death. And by death, I don't mean only a physical death like Jesus experienced it, but death of dreams, death of hopes. Sometimes those need to be set aside in God's plan for us as He's bringing about what is best for us because we love Him, as Paul says, and we're called according to His purposes, not our purposes. And when those things get off kilter a little bit with one another, Jesus says, this will help you stay focused on His purposes and will help you to begin to accept that sometimes your purposes are not what is best for you and not what is best within the overall plan of God. Jesus will always show up. He will never desert us, no matter how off we have become because of our neglect of His Word. But He invites us back into His Word. He invites us back into a broader perception of eyes of faith that look to Him, not as we want Him to be, but as He truly is, as revealed in His Word. Hopes are good things to have, but we need to recognize that so often our hopes have to do in many ways with avoiding suffering. And suffering is a hard thing. I didn't want to suffer the death of my mom. I wanted to put that off as long as possible. I didn't want to suffer the necessity of leaving where I was in order to go to another place. And since then, I have seen how clearly God used that very hard situation to move me to where He needed me to be. But at the time, I didn't want to go. God used what happened in my son's life for him to find the woman that he now truly believes that God had for him. Suffering is a hard thing. And so many times our hopes have to do with trying to avoid suffering. But God says, you know, difficult things are things sometimes that are necessary to bring you to a better place. Do you trust me? Are you willing to take time in your word? Because you will see story after story, person after person. You're not experiencing anything new. The human race has been dealing with this ever since the beginning, and I've been dealing with my children about these things ever since the beginning. So when you feel disappointed in your relationship with me, allow my word to expand so that with eyes of faith, perhaps you don't understand everything right at first. You won't get every answer, but you're still focused on the one that you can trust and the one who knows what he's doing and the one who truly is working all things together for good because we love him and we have been called according to his purposes. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today and we thank you for this story, which many of us know as the Road to Emmaus story. And there are many things in here that we didn't touch upon today, and they're worth talking about. Maybe we will at another time. But today we focused on the way in which that they had lost hope. And because their hope had been at least partially in a misunderstanding and in a misuse of your word. But Jesus did not abandon them. He did not just ignore them and say, I better go find someone else. No, he went on that road with them, and he opened the Word to help them see how the Word of God spoke specifically to the suffering and the death of Jesus. Those things that they were most upset about, those things that they're most disappointed about, those things that had caused them to lose hope are the very things that God the Father was using to reconcile the world to Himself, the forgiveness of sin and the assurance of a resurrection into a new life. And as Jesus showed them these things, their hearts grew warmer, their hopes rose, their disappointments began to fade, and their eyes of faith were opened to a new reality. Lord, may it be so for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.